I thought I'd get the big microphone out to do this podcast. I could have just set the phone up, but it's not quite the same, is it? Hello. I hope you are keeping well. And the podcast is hopefully back to stay after, well, what looks like a couple of years of being a bit intermittent. And I'd really like to try and get these done on a regular basis, even if even if I'm doing them the way that I'm doing it now, about 9 o'clock at night, just set the microphone up and just have a chat into it for 10 minutes. So there's plenty to talk about. Some good links towards the end. Some sad links, but good ones nevertheless. So we'll get on with the first bit of news. So the first thing is going to be the podcast. What am I going to be doing with the podcast? Well, for a start off, I'm going to try and make them as regular as possible. They're going to be 10 to 15 minutes long. There's also going to be some recorded on my phone, which will probably be shorter. They will only be sort of about 5 minutes. Might be talking about something that's come up in the news. And I'm going to be calling those podcast extras. I think that's probably a good way of just showing them as slightly different to what's before. The quality's probably not going to be as great as me talking into my nice condenser microphone like I am now. But I think they're going to be okay. And I can also record those while I'm out and about, because there's a couple of places this year that might be interesting to have a wander about with a camera and just have a natter into the phone and record a podcast there while out and about. So, fingers crossed, we'll be able to keep the podcast on the rails and uploaded to the website. Podcast links, I'm going to try and keep them themed each podcast. So rather than have them sort of like be all over the place, it's going to be a theme about, it might be documentary photography, it might be Vietnam War photography, it might be portrait photography, it might be something like that. It might be a certain photographer's work, but I think it's probably easier to do it that way. And to be honest, a lot of the sources that I had previously for getting new photography have sort of like dried up. There's still a few areas that I can still look and find. I've still got a few sources out there. But with social media use sort of drying up, and to be honest, I'm not really in a rush to go back. I think it's I'm going to be a bit more selective and do a bit of research on Google and see what I can come up with. So rather than stuff that's actually been put before me, I'm going to try and search it out, which is probably another difference that might make it a bit more personal. So that's what's going to happen with the podcast. Social media. Basically, not in a huge rush to get back to Twitter or Instagram. I'm just finding social media getting worse and worse. It just seems as though it's like an information overload. So I think I'll probably maybe start having a look at it in the spring and maybe start contributing, but we'll have to see. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about before I get onto the website and what's been happening on there is the books. Now, this is an ongoing battle. It's been going on for ages, but I'm definitely going to win this one at some point. One photozine is just about ready to launch, and I want to try and get that out this year. In fact, I'll definitely get this out this year, because I want the photozine, which was put together from the images that I shot in the Mull of Galloway a couple of years ago nearly. I want those out. The next book that I really want to try and get sorted, and I've been trying to do this one for ages, is the Two Towns book, which was shot in 2015 during a visit to Edinburgh. I shot it on an iPhone. It's about the last, or nearly the last, iPhone photography project that I did. And it's a really good one, and I want to do it justice. The text has been troublesome, but after thinking about it, I think what I'm going to try and do is flesh the book out a bit more and make it about the whole trip rather than just the Edinburgh bit. I've got some images from that journey going up. And the journey itself was quite an event because everything was cancelled along the East Coast, so we had to go by West Coast trains, which took longer, and it was... I wouldn't say it was an ordeal, but it certainly added to the legend of that trip up there for a week. And really, that's what it's all about. It's about doing justice to that event, to that week when I went up. The text is proving to be difficult, but I'm sure I'll be able to get through that. But really, all it is about doing justice to the book, to that Edinburgh trip in 2015, and also the sense of it was, I mean, we didn't know at the time, but it was the end of a chapter. It was moving on to new, more horrible things the following year with my mum becoming ill. So that really was sort of like the end of, a certain period in my life. And I want, again, that's another reason why I want to do it justice. When it releases, I don't want to be looking at the book and sort of like regretting that I didn't put that photo in or that. And if it takes a while to put together, then that's the way it is. You know, some people can put books together quite quickly. I've done it, and they work, but some just need a little bit of thought. And it's really the thought that I'm going through at the moment and just thinking about things and what I want to do. And there's also a few other books that need to get done as well. So I've got a lot of work with books in future, and I think really that's what I need to get on with whenever I get a bit of spare time. So that's it, really. I mean, the website, I'll just mention that briefly because there's a few bits and pieces. A lot of the work that's been going on there is just about security and things, making sure that it's okay. There's been one or two posts added. A recent post was about Lovelock locations. Lovelocks, of course, being padlocks with engraved messages and things like that. It seems as though a lot of people enjoy that, and they put them on bridges and on areas where there's where a lot of people sort of like gather, you know, viewing points and bridges and all sorts of places. I came across two lots last year. One was in Dundee, up at Dundee Law, which is the hill which overlooks Dundee. It's got a fantastic view, although it was absolutely throwing it down with rain when I went. The other place was a bridge in Bakewell, Derbyshire, which was absolutely covered in these lovelocks. And I later found out that the bridge had been cleared of lovelocks just 4 years earlier. So in the space of 4 years, this bridge had been covered again with all of these lovelocks. And I did a post and showed some of the pictures recently and just said about how I would like to develop it as a project. It's sort of one of those ongoing slow projects that I think is going to be a lot of fun, just to see where these locations are. There's one or two other locations that I think I can include as well, which I might make a special trip for. They're close to me as well, so it doesn't mean I have to travel that far, and we'll just see how it comes together. So apart from that, there's also another post that's going to be coming about the Kelpies, which I'm rather looking forward to posting that, because the Kelpies is a set of structures. They are horses' heads created out of metal. They're sculptures. And they look absolutely magnificent as you drive by them on the, I think it's the M8 or M9. I can never remember. I think it's the M8. Might be the M9 though. Who knows? But they look absolutely fantastic as you drive by. But I've been driving by them for years, going by them for years, and you know, you never sort of like stop to take a look at them. And they are certainly worth a stop just to see what they look like. So that is another post that's coming very soon. Right. So we passed the 10-minute mark. So I'm going to just finish off this podcast with the links. There's not many links in this. There's only two that I'm going to mention. And the first one is the Tim Page obituary in The Guardian. Now, Tim Page was a hero of mine in the very early days when I was first starting to take photos. I got my little plastic camera, 126 film camera, and going around taking photographs. And I was off school. This would be about 1985. Something like that. And there was this TV show. There was this documentary that was on the BBC. It was called Mention in Dispatches. It was BBC Arena. And it was made in 1979. And it was all about Tim Page coming to terms with life after the Vietnam War. He'd been badly injured during the Vietnam War, so he'd also got physical injuries that he was recovering from. I think he had a lot of demons that he was dealing with as well. If I remember rightly, there was one scene in the film where he goes down to a corner shop and basically buys a bottle of whiskey and then basically takes it home and just goes through all of his slides from Vietnam, just taking a drink. It was not exactly a glowing endorsement of photojournalism as a lifestyle. But the images that were shown on the screen were just fantastically powerful, because up until that point, you know, it had all been about pretty landscapes, holiday photos, photographing the sea, those kind of things. Then you realise that there is this darker side to photography where it's actually used to try and convey a message, to document something. And sometimes those things are not pretty, they are not beautiful, but they can be beautiful, but they can be very dark but powerful. And that certainly came across in the film. So one of the links is, fortunately, to that Mentioned in Dispatches documentary, which I found on YouTube. So I will link that. And then the other one is the obituary that was added to The Guardian. I would highly recommend, though, that you just type Tim Page or Tim Page photojournalist into Google and see what it comes up with. I think I'll also add a third link on the links page and also in the show notes of this podcast for a gallery of his images. Because although he wasn't the best photographer out there, he was the first photographer that I came across, and I always really liked his work. Personally, I'm more of a fan of Larry Burroughs, who I thought was more of a rounded photojournalist than Tim Page. But Tim Page certainly did capture a side of the Vietnam War, took a lot more risks, and was certainly very much a character that, if anybody would say that there was the iconic image of a photojournalist in Vietnam, it would be Tim Page. He was even allegedly used as an influence for the photojournalist character from Apocalypse Now. So that kind of gives you an idea. Rock and roll, drugs, the whole 60s thing encapsulated in a photographer, that was probably Tim Page. So check his photography out. I don't think you'll regret it. He took some amazing images. He sadly died in Australia at the age of 78. So he did have quite a good innings, considering, you know, that he nearly died twice in Vietnam. So, you know, he was nearly dead by the time he was 26, twice. So I think the age of 78, I think, is a pretty good innings for someone who took the risks that he did. So rest in peace, Tim. You were such an influence in my early days, and thanks for that. So that is the end of the podcast. I will be back next month, hopefully, with another one of these quick podcasts. And I've just broken my rule because it's 15 minutes and 12 seconds. So I will say a very quick goodbye and hope to see you next time.